Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Carlos Castaneda said, "In the universe, there is an immeasurable, indescribable force which shamans call intent. And absolutely everything that exists in the entire cosmos is attached to intent by a connecting link." What a great way to start a show. Thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reitberger, and the topic of today's show is the healing power of intention, attention, and motivation. And throughout the entire hour, I'm going to be sharing how these three words can help you not only manifest the health that you desire, but assist you in creating the life that you desire. And what do I mean by that? A life that's in alignment with your soul's divine work. I'm also going to be sharing my medical intuitive skills with you. So if you have a question for me about your health or you want to talk about today's topic, intention, attention, and motivation, I invite you to call me at 877-230-3062 or 425-644-5620. When I was preparing for this show, I thought, you know, I really needed to just start with the basics, and that is defining healing. Webster's Dictionary defines healing as to restore the health and to return the body to its original state. However, as a medical intuitive and having the pleasure of reading thousands of people energetically over the course of my career, sounds funny to say that as a medical intuitive, but it's true. I know that healing is really something more than just putting the body back to where it was when it became ill or out of balance. So when I see healing in the energy field, I see those beautiful colors of teal and that really pretty kind of a baby fuchsia pink that is the color of compassion. I see that teal of self-love. I see that blue of self-expression. I see that white that lets me know that someone has basically surrendered themselves to their higher self and to the universe, and the white is all the angels that are helping them. When I see those colors in the field, what I know is I know that that person, the intent behind the healing isn't about putting the body back to where it was before it became ill, but it's to make it better than it was before it became ill. I found that in my work that healing doesn't happen with just sheer willpower. That's what's considered motivation, or by only focusing your thoughts. Now that's attention. It happens because we add to the healing energy intention. So we really have to go in for the healing model to work. We have to basically use attention, the focusing of the mind, motivation, meaning the desire, not the willpower, not the part that comes in and says, doggone it, I'm going to do this no matter what, because many times that's driven by a lot of our fears and this little inner voice that basically says, you know what? I'm not sure this is really going to work. But the real missing link in the equation for healing is the energy of intention, because it's that energy that links to the soul and then links the soul, the mind, and the body together and creates that healing vibrational space of universal manifestation, meaning that space that energetically, meaning in the energy body, we can actually, when the intention is added to the process, we actually create a spontaneous remission in the energy field to where the field instantaneously comes in to a place of balance and harmony. All those vibrations are just really, really humming together in sync. When that being in sync vibrationally comes into place, that's when miracles really occur. And that's where we find that we become better than we were before. Healing, as with everything else in life, has an order to it, meaning that it has to be done in a sequence so one thing builds off of another. Healing requires a plan, so we're clear about our desired objectives. It's very difficult for us to heal something that's happening in our body if we aren't clear on what healing is. We're not clear in who we are. We're not clear in that I am or that soul part of who we are to where we have a visual portrayal, or maybe we have a feeling or an image, or maybe even a song title that we can associate with it. And we need to be very clear on what our objectives are. Do we just want to make it a little bit better and get rid of the pain so then our mind isn't fixated? Or do we just want to go in and just take care of it right now, but not really deal with it in the future? Or do we really want to heal, where what we do is we change it instantaneously, energetically, we take the steps to let the body be able to heal. We heal the mind, we heal the emotions. And then what we do is then we add intention. And then all aspects of who we are recognizes what we're really looking for. However, unlike other things in life that require planning, healing plan that you put together can't be driven by ego. And what that means is you can't become so strong in your willpower that you are going to heal no matter what happens. Because if you do, then what you're going to do is you're going to start go into that competitiveness, not only with yourself, but with your healing team, meaning that we become, it's kind of our illness against everyone else. We have to do kind of prove to someone that we can do it. I hear people say all the time, you know, Carol, I'm going to do this just because I want to show that doctor. I want to make him or her wrong. I want to prove to them that I can heal what they're saying that is wrong with me. Or I'm going to prove to them that there is something wrong when they can't find anything. This is not a healthy way to be able to heal. This kind of motivation shifts the responsibility of healing over other people, because now we need their approval and we need their validation to recognize whether we're reaching our objective or not. It can't also be done if the primary focus is to prevent anything from interfering with our achieving our objective. What this does is if we go in and we say, okay, I am going to prove that person wrong, and I am going to use my willpower to make this happen, and I am going to fixate, I'm going to visualize to the point that there's no deviation, that there's no way that this is not going to happen. What this does is it takes that mind and it puts a grip on it, and then the mind can't mesh with the intuition or the intent of the energy and the outcome and the desire to be able to really get us to a place where everything is working together. All these different things, willpower, human ego, proving something, fixating your mind on something happening and not allowing the natural flow to happen, all that does is it really chases healing away. Yes, we may be able to stop a minor ache and pain, but it really doesn't get rid of the problem, nor does it make it better than it was before. All of those things are really unnatural. And when we're looking at healing, we really need to be in our state of sync. We need to be in our state of flow. If we're not, then what it does is it compromises us. And when it does, we go right back to where we were before, meaning that the underlying contributors that were responsible for the illness to occur in the first place, now they've got a grip on us. And no matter how hard we try, no matter what we do, no matter how much we, you know, affirm, we pray, we visualize, whatever we do, we never seem to get to that place where we just can get into the flow. And I always say be comfortable in our skin. And what I mean by that is I mean being comfortable in our skin energetically, soulfully, mindfully, physically, and then also emotionally, so then everything can get back into that healing. For a healing plan to work and for us to get our desired results, we have to be driven by the desires of the soul. Now, I would like to just kind of divert off of that for a moment, because when I keep talking about the desires of the soul, I want to make it very clear that the desire of the soul is always good health. The desire of the soul and its activities is always healing. The soul never becomes cynical or jaded or wounded like that emotional inner child that we have. The soul is always perfection. So the desires of the soul is always perfection. It's always good health. It's always being able to do what we need to do if we just can change our thinking, or we can stop the mind from fixating. So the desire of the soul is always for perfection. And when we go and we touch that soul, what we want to do is that soul will say to us, remain open, be receptive to new experiences. Don't fixate. Allow new thoughts to come forward, because those new thoughts are going to give you new ideas and possibilities. Most important, be present in the moment. The reality of the healing plan is, and the healing process is, we heal only in the present moment. We don't heal when we're fixated on the past, because that's so full of emotional charges that create so much disruption to us energetically. And we can't heal in the future, but we have to be present in the moment. We have to be able to learn to allow rather than control. The reality of it is, in our humanness, we think we can control everything. The truth is, the only thing we can control is the quality of our thoughts. If our thoughts are ill, then our body is going to be ill. As a medical intuitive, that's where I see the connection. I see ill thoughts, ill body. I see if the soul can't talk to the mind and the mind won't talk to the body, we have a disconnection. And it's that disconnection that the ancient metaphysicians said that really was the root of illness, was the disconnection. And where was that disconnection? It was in our thinking. What we do is when we allow ourselves to just allow the flow to happen and to just be, as it's called, we free ourselves from fear and all the self-perceptions that we have of ourselves that basically limits us. And then what we do is we get in and we feel this deep connection that we have with ourself. That's so important. That's really one of the first ways that you know I am connected to the intention. We just have a deep soul connection. There's a sense of peace, a sense of calm about us, a sense of resolve, meaning we know we will heal. There isn't any doubt in our mind. There isn't any anxiety. There isn't any fear. But we know when we connect with our soul that the universe and its healing energy, as we align our energy with it, then will provide everything that we're looking for. So in the healing plan, intention is the first step, and it's that energy that connects us to something the ancients used to write about as far as us to be able to travel from the heavens to the earth, to be able to replace and restore the any disconnection and everything. The ancients would say in their writings, and the Egyptians primarily were the ones. However, I found as I'm studying more of the Maya calendar and a lot of the Mayan civilization, that each of them talked about a living field of transformational consciousness that instantaneously shifts the perceptions that we have of ourselves and that expands the perceptions of what we're capable of achieving. The energy of intention represents our soul's desire to manifest and to harness the principle and the law of magnetic attraction. Interesting. Attention, focusing the mind. Motivation, focusing the willpower, does not really call in the dynamics of the law of the magnetic of attraction. But what starts it and what calls it in and starts the connection and the process is intention. Intention through the law of magnetic attraction ensures that what we send out in the form of a thought and the words that we use in that thought will be attracted back to us in the form of observations and experiences. Intention basically supercharges the desires of the soul and amplifies those desires vibrationally in the aura. So we act like this highly sophisticated broadcast system, sending out and receiving only messages of information that we desire. Meaning information, if it's around our healing, we will only get back to us healing information. Maybe it'll be a friend that'll call us and say, you know, I just read this marvelous book and it's all about healing. And I think it has to do with what you're working with. Or somebody will just send us an email that'll make us laugh. That's what's being sent out into the field. And that's what's being brought back to us through the law of magnetic attraction, is that we can find that we can see the synchronicity of the outreach and we can see the benchmarks and we can measure our actual progress that we're having in this healing process. I talked about laughter. That is so important to our healing process, not only just because it lightens us up, both vibrationally and also mentally, but what it also does is it comes back to the fact that it actually exercises our body. In fact, I think that laughter is one of the most healing exercise programs we can do because it really detoxes us. It brings in nice, fresh, rich oxygen that basically goes and revitalizes the body. It clears our thinking and so forth. It uses up so many muscles in the body. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but a good belly laugh, oh my gosh, you're right down to the very core of who you are. Dr. Norman Cousins, in his book, The Anatomy of Illness, really, literally laughed his way back to good health. So interesting study that was done, excuse me, about 10 years ago, is the study said that people who laughed were actually healthier. And in this study, they went in and they looked at laughter for around children and laughter with adults. And you may have heard about this, but in this study, it said that children laugh about 300 times, maybe to 500 times a day. That's a lot of laughter. You know, they aren't serious. There's a lot of lighten up about them. But when they tested adults and they started asking them, how much do you laugh? The average was 15 times a day, and that was high. When they looked at it numerically, truth is, most of us don't laugh. If we find that we have difficulty laughing, and certainly in the times that we're in right now, where it seems like there's all this doom and gloom and all this fear, scarcity fear that we're experiencing and all this confusion, my goodness, I don't know if any of you are inclined to read the paper or watch the news. I have to do it every so often just because my yellow personality just wants to know what's going on for a brief moment. Basically, are we okay from what's happening in the world? And then I have to turn it off because otherwise you can get so caught up in that kind of that slumber that it puts you in where all you hear is fear and all you feel is fear and all you see is fear. And it's very difficult for us to be able to pull ourselves out of that. Now, intention and the soul sees all of these fears as an opportunity for personal growth. It sees this, these anxieties about economic situations, about the fact that maybe what you're doing isn't what you really want to do anyway. So it's an opportunity for change. So when we come in and we use intention, it supercharges those desires of the soul and it amplifies them to where our aura becomes very fluffy. And some interesting research, instrumentation is becoming much more sophisticated on being able to how to measure the aura. And what we're finding now is that we have instrumentation that can actually measure the aura from your body out 55 feet. So not only are you sending this great broadcast of your desires out into the universe, into this living field of transformational consciousness, your aura 55 feet out of you is going in and it's basically bumping into other people's auras and it's saying, do you know how to heal yourself? What have you done? And what we do is people start to share that. That's the law of attraction. So with the energizing of intention, we become energetically huge. And being energetically huge, then we're able to really add strength and power. And then we receive information that only we desire to hear. So not only is the aura really big, but that vastness about it, that large scope of vibration about it, allows it to act as a buffer. And anyone that comes in and they'll say to you, oh, you know, I had that illness too, and the doctors couldn't find anything to do about it. I just had to basically learn about it. And, you know, they continue on and your aura field just starts filtering that out. And by the time it reaches your body, it goes blah, 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 blah. You can't even hear what they're saying. But if someone comes into your field in the law of attraction and they say, you know what, this is what I did, your field will just absorb that, bring it to you, and allow you to hear what they did. It will engage you in a positive way, so you'll be able to use the information for the healing. With intention, our energy, thoughts, and soul's desire are going to be well-directed, kind of like a laser beam. None of this shotgunning, like, hello, universe, I want everybody to just basically, let's shotgun, I'm sending a message, anybody out there? Well, the universe is so vast, and in the cosmic grid with these different layers of vibration that we have that's associated to our body, oh my gosh, if we do that, it may take a long time for a message to come back. So intention acts like a laser beam, and it really hones in only on the specific direction, meaning the specific thought and the desired outcome that we want. And it guarantees, that sounds strange for energy, but it guarantees that the law of attraction is going to bring forward and back to us only what we find of value and what we can actually use. And when we put the intention in there, then the soul moves us forward in its direction of our intention. And then also our body changes, our health changes, our state of mind changes, and then we find ourselves feeling like we're back into our body, or as I say, comfortable in our skin. Without intention as part of the healing and the manifestation process, basically what we do, and when I say intention, this is part of the healing plan. It's like knowing where you desire to go, again, all the plans, and I'm going to be talking about attention and motivation and being able to harness that. But without intention, we waste a lot of energy. That's that shotgun effect that I was talking about when I was putting that metaphor out there. It's like, hello, anyone, anyone, anyone. Well, you know, in reality, we are magnificent vibrational creatures with unlimited capacity of vibration. But if we shotgun our energy, it's like instead of sending out this laser beam, this light beam to call people in, it's like a shotgun where we have all these little pellets that are basically just kind of going in whatever direction it can, and hopefully we had enough gunpowder behind it or velocity that it's going to get where we need to go. And so as a result, we waste energy. When we waste energy, or we lose our energy because we surround ourselves with people who all we hear is just all the things that didn't work, then what it does is it drains us. And then that really hinders the energy body's capacity to be able to be a part of intention to heal us. The other part is we become vulnerable to external influences that can create these false intentions. And when I talk about the false intentions, what I'm really doing is I'm talking about engaging us back into the expectations that we have that basically cause us to live a life that compromises us. We all want to be liked. We all want to be loved. We all want to be accepted. But if we're not in touch with our soul, then we basically start looking for anything. There's a song, Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. That's really what we start to do. So in that particular case, then what we do is we not only lose energy, but then we don't focus on what we desire. As a result, we can attract experiences that basically derail us, distractions. Oh my goodness, we are in such a huge energy shift right now in this time. And it's fascinating that how our mind and how the media and how this global energy, this global consciousness of fear, base, and scarcity is creating all of these distractions. I've done this work for so long, and I will tell you, I just am just in awe of the way that our human mind and the way that all of these things are coming up to distract us from really touching our soul and being able to think for ourselves and as a result heal for ourselves. And the interesting part about all these distractions is that they're really distractions with so much emotional charge to them. It meaning that I could be sitting in my office having my day planned out, and, you know, everything is, I'm open, I'm receptive to everything. Sometimes I have to work at that, but I'm open and receptive. And then all of a sudden a distraction will come in, and the charge around it just literally puts me in a tailspin. And then it takes energy to do that. And then I have to go in and say, okay, Carol, look at your mind. What do you need to do? How do you need to work through this? You know, it's just a situation. This too will pass, blah, 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 all the affirmations, all the things I use. But what I've done with the energy shift right now, I go in and I just say something very simple. How would my soul see this situation? Instantaneously, it changes. And I find that I'm no longer distracted by it, and I'm no longer consumed by it. And then I can put myself back to reaching my objectives. What also happens when we don't focus our intention, we function in a disconnected, fragmented state from our soul. That's that disconnection that the ancient metaphysicians really believed that was responsible for illness. And what happens is we make manifestation and healing difficult, if not impossible, because we are so distracted by everything, so feeling derailed, so out of body, so out of sync with ourselves. It's really difficult for us to go back and use the magic of intention to touch us with that healing energy. So what I would like to do is I would like to, Rebecca, are you there, my love? Okay, well, I'm going to, yes, she is. Look at here, we're talking via email. Let me go in. I'm going to go ahead and let's jump into Maureen from Canada. Hi, Maureen. How are you, sweetie?
Hi, Carol.
Hi. Is this the Maureen that has been sending me emails?
It sure is.
Well, good for you. See, I knew your energy, hon. How can I help you?
Well, that's my question. I'd like your help to get my green energy moving. I feel like I've been on lockdown in my life.
Oh, boy. And you know what? One of these days, I'm just going to send out this vibrational email, this vibe mail, as I call it, to all greens, calling all greens. I would like you to come together and play and have a good time and be able to realize that you're not the only green in this world that has struggled with this part of it. It's like Kermit the Frog said, it's hard being green.
Yeah.
And what happens, Maureen, is so early in our life, we really find that whether it's a green as you or yellow as me, what we do is we find that we put on this other costume, this other clothes. We start to try to be someone other than who we are, because every one of us as a human wants to be loved. We want to be accepted. But greens, that's your greatest struggle, Maureen, is to just be able to work with the rejection that you feel. Honey, in my world of personality, with my statistical work, you're 6% of the population, meaning all the people that have been tested by in all the five instruments that I used as a comparison to my personality work. 6%, that is a very small number. You function neurologically in right brain. Your brain works by it gathers information externally and internally. Your intuition is like a vibe mail on steroids. You are constantly getting information. Many times you'll share that information. You'll share it with personalities that don't even have a clue what you're talking about. So you come in and you get your information that way, and your brain in that right brain neurology sees all this randomness. It's like having a big giant TV screen, and you have all these little pictures on the screen. And the more pictures you get, the more your brain goes in and tries to get more pictures and then more pictures. You love that part. Your brain is neurologically designed that way. Mm-hmm. And then what you do is you go in and you say, okay, this picture matches this picture matches this picture. And then you make decisions based on emotion. 85% of the population, again, personality, honey, is left brain. Most of the time, truthfully, they have not a clue what you're talking about. They have no way to be able to randomly you see the way your brain does. And if you say to them, how do you feel? Their brain comes in and goes, feel, touch. I use my hand. They literally, that's the way their brain works. And then it's like, feel, loaded question. Don't answer. If you stare and you look at them, maybe they'll just go away. That's the way their brain negates who you are. So very early on, you started this process of trying to fit in. And as I said in the email, sweetie, you don't fit in. You never will fit in. You march to your own drummer. But what you can do is you can take that green part of you and you can start to embrace it and not reject it. You are highly developed in your intuition. When your intuition talks to you through the goosebumps in your body or the images in your brain or in that gut, you follow it. Do not dismiss it. I don't care how much people are saying to you, Maureen, you do not have a clue. You need to do it this way. Don't do it. If someone gets in your space and they're pressing you, the other part that we had talked about with the thyroid teleclass that I did is for greens, you swallow your emotions. You hold them inside.
Yeah,
and
I
the
do.
Reason, and you know, the gift of that is that you don't want to have conflict. You don't want the world to have conflict. You want people to be able to be diverse. That you want them to have the diversity in their thinking. You want everybody to coexist in a way that we can all live in harmony while we're different. When you get and you share yourself emotionally and make yourself vulnerable to people and then they criticize you, not only have they rejected you, now you start to reject yourself. You hold those emotions inside. And I was saying something the other day to a group of greens in a class I was teaching. Greens, I love you to pieces, but you have hairballs in your throat. And they cracked up, and I said, you just really need to cough those hairballs up. And so I said, well, after they got through laughing, I said, so, and I called on a person. I said, so what's your hairball in your throat? And she said, I am just so tired of not being heard. And I said, cough it up. What do you need to be heard? What do you want to say? And we actually created an environment where she was able to say what she wanted, and all the other greens knew exactly where she was. She didn't even have to finish her sentences. Thyroid disorders in my world is a medical intuitive, is a suppression of emotional expression. And for greens, that's your nature. Now, the nice part about you as a green versus other personality colors is that you'll get to that place that that hairball will be so uncomfortable, you're going to get it out. Unlike the orange personality, who are similar to you in making decisions emotionally, they'll just keep holding it in. With greens, all of a sudden that hairball is coming up and it blows. It just, your temper becomes blow. You go out of your color. You hit this wonderful place where you start using a four-letter word and it's not love. And everybody backs away. And let me tell you, honey, they listen to you. Now,
that
I'm not advocating. Yeah, it, well, it does, because what it's, your soul is saying to you, you've reached a place of frustration to the point where it has to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to stop people to hear what you have to say sometimes is shock treatment. And that's what that wonderful four-letter word does, especially from a green who's mild manner, easygoing, just goes with the flow. Man, when that word comes out, everybody backs away. It's like, back away, back away. But what they do is they back away, but you've got their attention. Now you can say what you want to. Sounds like I'm advocating a new language here, doesn't it? Sailor mouth, but I'm not. But what I am doing is I'm just saying that it is important for you, for your thyroid, for your overall well-being and for the energetics, for you to be able to have the freedom to say what you need to. And you know, Maureen, if they don't listen, honey, your job is to share your knowing, your wisdom, your intuition, however you want to word that. Put it out there. If they don't choose to take it and act on it, that's not your problem. One of the things that in the mystery school that my work is all around as far as being able to heal from the standpoint of self-expression is one facet to it. One of the things that the ancient metaphysicians would teach is your responsibility is to speak your truth in the integrity of your individuality. You are not to be held accountable how other people hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're talking to a red, they are going to, first of all, think you're in la-la land anyway. If you can't give them all the facts they need, they're not going to hear what you have to say. If you and your personality are looking to the future and you use words that are emotionally charged, that are also futuristic, their brain doesn't compute. So for you to hold yourself back from your expression to be able to please other people who truthfully may not even hear the words you're using, I think it's time that you don't do that anymore, huh?
It is. I keep on thinking that I need to move. You know, I guess the change thing. I keep thinking I need to move to something different in my life. For example, different work, different.
Oh, well, that is true. That one I will agree with you. Your work is boring, boring, boring. Excuse me, I can pick it up in your field. It's like you go in, you know, put yourself in automatic pilot, blah, 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 blah. Goes through, people come in, they go out, people come in, they go out. There's no joy,
there's
no excitement. There's no excitement. And for greens, I mean, give your job to a red. They love that blah, blah, blah. They love that, you know, that part that it's like mundane and routine. And they love that redundancy factor. The green is, I want to create it. I just want to touch it a little bit. And then, woohoo, I'm off.
Yeah.
But what the green does is take that creativity part of you and look at the task. When you're looking at what you want to do to reinvent yourself or recreate your job, look at the task. So look at a job. Say, look at a job as, working for the Department of Motor Vehicles or something. Look at the task. Boring. If you want to go in and you want to work in a place that was interior design, even though it may not make as much money, oh my gosh, that's creative. If you wanted to look at the healing modalities, oh my gosh, that's creative. And you know what? There's a part in this reinvention process, Maureen. We are changing that old perception that if you do what you love, you're not going to make money. And the perception is if you do healing work, that you're going to starve to death. That's not the case. So I would agree with you totally. The job needs to go.
Okay. Okay.
But before it goes, let's use your creativity. Let's use your green. Let's go in and look at what you can do in order to be able to look at the task and tasks that you like. Interesting thing I said last night on my Hay House event and everything. Interesting enough, we never procrastinate around the things we love to do.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're looking at those things, look at those tasks. Is it something that you can recreate? Is it something that has enough different change to it? Is it a creative atmosphere? Is it going to be allowing you to be the cheerleader and the healer that you are for other people? Is it around working with children? Those are the things I encourage you to look for. And then you know what? You don't even have to hack that hairball up. It just kind of goes away. It's interesting.
Okay.
Well, thanks, honey. And you know what? Most important thing, look in the mirror and go, I love my green. I love my green. I love my green. I love my green. And
I
because
will.
You know what? I'm going to tell you, I do believe in this whole evolutionary cycle that we are in at this time, if it wasn't the courageousness of the Greens to plant those seeds a long time ago and to continue to, you know, take care of those seeds and to plant them and plant them and plant them, even when the rest of the world may have thought you were crazy, as all Greens, and all of you, people do think you're crazy because you have this optimistic attitude. Do you know what? I don't believe we would be in this evolutionary, exciting cycle we are if it hadn't been for the courage of you Greens. I really do mean that. So
yeah,
next
I've been,
time...
Go I've ahead.
No, that's okay.
Trying to not be green, that it's going to be hard to embrace it because I don't have much practice.
Well, you know what? Here's what you do. Is it something simple? You go in and you say, okay, I'm a green. So what do I look like? And you'll come up with an image. And if you come up with a gargoyle like a Shrek, oh, God, Shrek is the most lovable thing there is. That'll change that perception. Or you just come in and find an image around your green that you really do love that makes you laugh. That's the whole key with a green. What makes you laugh? See your green as a color of healing, a healing color. So I'm going to ask you, in your greenness, give me a healing color.
Blue.
Perfect. That is a perfect color. When you add blue and you add green, you have teal. That's the highest color of healing and vibration you could ever put in your field. Mm-hmm. So give me a song title around your green.
Go.
you got it. Go on. It's fun. You have a song that you absolutely love. I can hear it in your field.
Higher and higher.
That's it. That is literally it. And so every time you get to the point where you start to, you know, try to take that green and put it away in a closet somewhere, oh my gosh, you're going to see that blue. You're going to, you know, get an image. You're going to be able to hear that song. What your soul is saying is as a green, you're in the fourth chakra. You're in the chest and the shoulders. Don't go down to your feet. Your feet can allow you to manifest, but don't go down to that red personality that's going to compromise you. That's an ugly place for you. You know, that's when that four-letter word comes out, and that's your soul saying, I am out of here. So go back. And so whenever you go into that green in order to learn to love it, you know, put it on your iPod higher and higher, hear yourself singing it, you know, sing it. If your dog walks out of a room or a cat moves away, who cares? Go for it. All of those things are the things that I tell you, please, and great love to you vibrationally, all greens, please do not reject yourself. We need you. All of us in other personality colors, all of us in this universe truly, truly needs your magic of creativity. I tell you, your enthusiasm can sell ice to an Eskimo. So all greens out there, find a way to embrace yourself, find your song, put it on your iPod, listen to it, and that's how you keep your vibration humming along, and that's going to help me as a yellow. It's going to help the oranges that are struggling tremendously with their emotions, and you know what? It might even vibrationally brainwash the reds. How's that? Oh, Maureen, thanks, honey. It's been absolutely great. It's been a fun, fun time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carol. You're wonderful.
Oh, my pleasure. Well, you know, Rebecca, we just kind of blew through that commercial break, didn't we? So what I'm going to do is, how about if we just go in and let's keep on going? You want to put a yay or a nay on my screen for me?
Yes, I'm good.
Yes, yes, yes. Let's though. You are back. So let's go ahead and I'm going to go in and let's talk about this second step. And we're just not going to do a commercial break today. I know I broke one of the rules, but you know, it seems to be that kind of a day. Okay. So the second part of the healing process is attention. And that focuses the activities of the mind on creating thoughts that are supportive to the energy of intention. When attention is directed toward the desires of the soul, our awareness and what is happening internally and externally is being heightened. It's like we have this new inner radar that has basically been reconnected with our soul, and it allows us to be able to monitor our thoughts. When our thinking is less rigid and our mind becomes interested in listening to the insights offered by our intuition, it actually changes the perception, it changes the focus, and it will actually bring us into a place where attention, intention are all one and the same. So, and what we do with intention, focusing attention, oh my goodness, we come in and all of a sudden all that internal chatter, that yada, yada, yada that I talk about that wears us down suddenly disappears. But most importantly, attention directed toward intention or soul's desire banishes the self-doubt that we have, that we cannot heal ourselves. There's tools for harnessing the energy of attention. I actually did that with Maureen, my caller from Canada. Visualization. You know, what do you see? What is the image? Affirmation. You know, give it a color. Use an affirmation. Affirmations, you do first party as if it's already happened. Meditation is very, very good. Reflection and contemplation. Sometimes that's listening to your iPod with that music that's your song. So then we're going to go in, and that's what you use. Then if you go in, the final step is the process of motivation. An anonymous philosopher once said, whatever you do, you need motivation. To map a course of action and to follow it to the end requires a focus of attention and the courage of intention. It takes a brave man or a woman to act as if it were impossible to fail. That's where we come in, and that's where we actually can harness the motivation. It isn't by ego. It's a support system. It's an inspiration. It's the courage that we need. Pro basketball coach Pat Riley said, look at your choices, pick the best of them, and then go to work with all your heart. Both of these quotes actually reflect what motivation is. In regards to the desire of the soul, motivation is the passion behind everything you do. It's the ability to keep your eye on the objective and not to become sidetracked with all those distractions that your mind or people or people's words or other perceptions are going to do. It's what pricks your curiosity, stimulates your energy, and acts as the catalyst of change. In order for healing to happen, something needs to change. Motivation is what puts your intention, attention into action and facilitates the manifestation process. Intuition and motivation work hand in hand because they both create the desired results. They attract new experiences, explore possibilities, and offer alternative solutions. When you go in and you harness intention, attention, and motivation, then healing has already happened on an energetic level. It's just keep your eye on your objective, and you will be surprised at how quickly it's going to come in and actually manifest in your life. Okay, let's go back in because we have more time. Let's take line four. Kathleen, hi, how are you?
Hello?
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. Thank you so much for taking my call. Your show is so interesting that so many things have come up since I called in with my question, but it's convoluted and everything feels like it goes together and I'm overwhelmed. And basically, I'm confused because when I was 28, I was diagnosed with muscle sclerosis, and I believe I was able to heal at least it affecting me through everything you're talking about, intention, attention, motivation, even though I didn't have that kind of a language, you know, 15 years ago. I didn't have any of that understanding. Now I do, but I feel like you talk about the desire of the soul, and I feel like my soul's desire is in direct conflict with my situation, which is that I'm a green. I believe I'm green, and I absolutely despise my job. I'm grateful for the money and the benefits, and that's why I'm here. But my situation has been such that I'm the supporter of, you know, the constant supporter for my family, and I have to keep the job until financial situations change. Right. But I feel like I'm depressed. I don't know if I'm depressed. I cry when I cry.
You're just unhappy, honey. It's, you know, when I go in and I touch your energy, and excuse me for interrupting you, but you know, I just want to add so much to everything that you said. If you go back, Kathleen, and you look at where you were in your life at age 15, honey, this may look different, but it was the same place. There was that same feeling of being trapped. When we're trapped, as a medical intuitive, when we feel trapped, and this is for all colors, but specifically for that green-yellow dynamics, because you really are a green, but you have an awful lot of yellow as I touch your field. So your green can be creative. Your yellow can put the strategy together on how to use your creativity. It's your yellow that's keeping you in this job because it needs to. But if you go back and you look at 15, you were trapped. You were feeling that you couldn't get out. You couldn't move. You couldn't have the freedom to do what you wanted to do. And what it did is that feeling trapped created this perfect storm from a psychological standpoint and then physical. It created this perfect storm where you turned on yourself. You became irritated with yourself. You became irritated with everybody else. You didn't feel like you could do anything right. Your self-talk became toxic. And the reason it became toxic is so you could hear yourself, what you were saying. But what happened is it touched a part of your past that fed an old fear that you have, that fear of rejection, and it just became bigger than you. Whenever I get that inner irritation and we turn on ourselves, that's when the immune system turns on us. And what it does is we become irritated. It actually starts breaking down the myelin sheathings of that little kind of insulation around our nerves itself, and it kind of eats away these little spots. So what the brain sends in the way of electrochemical messages hits that nerve, and it gets a real strong signal, and then it doesn't, and then it gets a strong signal, and then it doesn't. And that's why many times with MS, we're going to have a loss of a muscle movement. Maybe it's most likely in our legs itself. So when I look at you from the MS standpoint, honey, it was just plain stress.
Right, and I believe that. I was actually 28 at the time and going through a divorce, so that makes total sense.
Absolutely. And then the other part, so excuse me real quick, and I'm going to let you jump back in. The other part of it is I can go back probably maybe 7 or 8 years old. You became sick at that point in time, but, you know, it was overlooked. And I don't know if the environment was just where it was really busy, or you just have this inner tenacity that you just keep on going like that little ever-ready bunny. But I will tell you that somewhere at that point in time, you became infected with the Epstein-Barr virus. And Epstein-Barr virus and MS is a direct connection, and stress creates the perfect storm. So let's say something else, and then I'm going to be quiet, and I'll go to the next part of what you want to talk about. Your MS is not in a progressive state. But what is occurring is that perfect storm is being rekindled and rebuilt to the point where it could create a reoccurrence. Won't be anything like it was before. Now, you can stop that. You can stop that. Your job is where you need to be. If you quit your job today, honey, you don't know where you're going to go. And for a green, you could go and you could just jump out of the plane with the parachute. And I tell you, greens, I love you. You just flap like, you know what, 2 inches off the ground and you never seem to crash. But, oh, my gosh, that's hard on your body. So if you went in and you said today, okay, I'm going to quit my job today to be able to take care of my health, honey, you wouldn't know where to go. So use this time with your job. Your yellows come in and said, you really do need to stay. But I can tell you, I think there's an opportunity in your job environment that you haven't seen yet. And I encourage you to go in and look at your job. Look at the changes in your company. Look at all the things that you have an opportunity to do within the company. Things are in a state of flux there. So look at that. Go in and ask yourself, what are you really good at? What do you really love to do? Very important questions. That can help you to find something within your company that you may want to stay until you can find something you want to go to. Greens, Kathleen, you must be excited, sweetie, about where you're going to go. If you're not excited about where you want to go and you don't know, your fear is going to overtake you, sweetie. That's what we don't want to happen. Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I do believe I know where I want to go. I'm a Reiki master, but all this, I feel under all this, I feel like I can't feel the Reiki. I work in underground, and whenever I come here, I feel like all of my energy is drained. I really am just waiting to be able to leave, and I'm also going to work with hypnotherapy, and I'm trying to study that while I'm here.
Perfect.
My concern is that when I come here, I literally, tongue-in-cheek, lose the will to live. Like, I don't really mean that, but I can barely hold myself up behind my desk some days.
Yeah, no, and you know what? For all of my listeners out there, that is not melodramatic. That is really truth. It is, honey. It just literally, you walk into that building, it pulls your plug, and you just drain in energy. So let's see. We do not want to create an environment where you have to leave under adverse terms, meaning because of your health. We don't need to go there.
Correct.
But what we do need to do is let's shift the focus. Let's take this time that you have, and let's take the money that you have, and let's start focusing on the hypnotherapy. With Reiki, that is a wonderful sacred marriage, because it allows you to not only work with the energy of the body, but the psychological aspects. You couldn't find a better combination. The other combination that I would encourage you to go in and look at is maybe look at some of the work around matrix energetics or something like that. Use this as a learning time to be able to do it. The other thing is, honey, you need to have a conversation with someone at home. You need some help. You need some help.
Yeah.
You need some help. You know what? You're carrying the weight of your responsibility, of your world, your money, your relationship, your everything on your shoulders. And I don't know where in the agreement with this other person that it said that that was part of your contract, that you were going to carry the burden of everything. There needs to be a conversation that says, I need help. That's the first thing. And then the next question is, how are you going to help?
Right.
And that will start to give you some of this freedom of not feeling like you're trapped.
Do you see anything in my energy that shows where there'll be a shift and a change where I can move out of this job?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You will move out of the job. You've already sent it out to the universe. It's just a matter of, a matter of timing, honey. But what I don't want is knowing as a medical intuitive what I'm picking up in your body. And it's not to frighten you. I don't mean to do that. But we don't need to go back to the extreme to where your body starts to misalign itself or disconnect from itself to the point where then not only are you losing energy, but your body hurts or anything. We don't want any of the old ailments to come back into play in this process. It really isn't necessary. So what you want to do is you want to do a lot of good love, 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 love. Talk to your spleen. That's it. Loves to be loved, meaning support your immune system. You need rest. You need to have the time to restore your energy. I also pick up, I would like you to start looking at your diet and adding a lot more alkaline foods to your diet. I have a wonderful friend who is a medical intuitive, Carolyn Mace, she is a medical intuitive and a friend, but also Caroline Sutherland working with Candida. You might want to reach out to Caroline and see what can be done to help you with the Candida. Alkaline foods and some supplements can do that for you. So all of those things will keep your body healthy. Then what you can do is if you focus your attention on other things that are going to add to the intention of healing around Reiki. You are a healer. And then use this time as the motivation and the money to give you the freedom to do these other things. Honey, you're going to get there. And my sense is, truthfully, Kathleen, you're going to get there a lot sooner than you had even thought you would.
Thank you.
I just don't want it to be your health, nor do you, sweetie.
Correct.
So you know what? Keep on doing your Reiki. And you know, the Reiki work, it's so hard for us to do our own work. You know, I sit here and I do this show and I'm listening and I'm thinking, did you hear that, Carol? Did you hear that, Carol? And so, but this thing is, if you call upon your Reiki friends, call upon the universe of Reiki masters, all these Reiki people that are out there, do that distant healing and just send out the broadcast call. Hello, I need a little help here. Would you send me some good Reiki? That's going to help you a lot.
How do I focus? You were talking earlier. How do you focus that thought instead of having it just shotgunning all over the place?
You need help. Find out what you need help. Focus. You want help. I want help getting out of my job. You have to be sure that that's what you want. I want help in healing myself. I want to heal. I want to heal my immune system. I want to heal my nerves. I want to heal my, I want to express my voice. I want to sing. I want to do something. Be very clear and then throw it out there, meaning say it over and over again. There's where affirmations can work. And if you're inclined, prayers are just mainly affirmations as well. Be real clear and concise. You could say to the universe, calling all Reiki masters, I need a Reiki attunement around this. And then put it out there. And you know what? All those Reiki masters are going to hear that call. They're going to go in. They may not know it's you, but they know that it's a call that we're all feeling. And you know what? You're going to benefit from it.
Thank you.
You are most welcome. And so, honey, I'll tell you, I think it's going to happen quicker than you want. So let's make hay while the sun shines, as they say back in Missouri. thanks very much. See, I loved hearing you laugh. Now I knew I got you green there, sweetie. All right. So when we're looking at this healing process, I want to thank all the callers that were on the line today. It just seemed like today was a different day. Didn't get through as many and didn't do that commercial. Who needs commercials? Anyway, I want to thank every one of you for joining me today. Please do remember that the healing plan is intention, attention, motivation. When all are working together, then the magic of healing and the miracle of healing truly, truly can happen. So again, that's kind of the daily mantra. Use that when you come into all of this change, all of this everything through the soul's eyes, changes opportunity. Thanks for joining me. I hope you'll join me again next Wednesday when I will be here at 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm looking forward to it. See you on the radio.
You've been listening to The Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reiberger.com. That's www.reiberger.com. See you soon.